prison system, a very intense report from someone very close to its operations. This is Jerry Brown for We the People. Good night.
This is Sean Rhodes, calling out to each of you to tune in to City in Exile on Tuesday, February 25th at 10 p.m. as I speak to the respective writers of these two songs, Smokey Robinson and Mickey Stevenson. They'll be discussing their latest musical, Raising Hell, and will be joined by Marjorie Moon, director of the Billie Holiday Theater in Brooklyn, where the musical will debut. So mark it on your calendar, tell a friend, and be sure to tune in to City in Exile on Tuesday, February 25th at 10 p.m. as I speak to Smokey Robinson and Mickey Stevenson. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
It's 8 o'clock, time for another edition of Off the Hook. Very good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. We're back after 2 weeks of not being here. Now we are here and we're back. And amidst all the fanfare, we have all kinds of news and updates and fun things to talk about. Some good news, some scary news. But if we all face it together, we'll get through it in one piece. To start with the scary, let's go straight to 9X. And this is kind of scary news. 9X completed 1996 with a dramatic increase in the quality of service in New York State, resulting from the company's aggressive improvement programs that were begun early in the year. Yes, they're getting better. At least according to their own studies, and certainly not according to what customers have said. During 1996, 9X shifted additional funds to its telephone network construction program in New York. The company invested last year some $1.3 billion on its Central Office and Network Capital Investment Program in New York. But there is something that 9X has come to terms with. I think this is a good development. Some would disagree, but they're not here tonight. So, it's a good development. You know those yellow phones that I hate? Those yellow phones in the streets of New York? The ones that don't take quarters? The ones that have a 10-minute limit on all phone calls? The ones that don't take incoming calls? You know, the ones no one ever uses. The ones that are all beat up and urinated on and things like that, because that's the way New Yorkers express themselves when they don't like something, and most people do not like these yellow phones. They're supposed to be phones that take these little cards that have been working in Europe for years, and it's supposed to be the heralding of a new age and that kind of thing. Well, guess what? They don't work all that well. That's putting it nicely. And in a really surprising move, 9X last week agreed. That's right. 9X Corporation said that it will remove its payphones that only accept prepaid telephone cards with updated coin-operated payphones. Most of the 800 change card phones are situated in Manhattan on city sidewalks, or actually thrown into the street on some occasions. 9X said other card-operated phones are at the Staten Island Ferry Terminal and at several other indoor and outdoor locations. 9X will begin the replacement program next week. 9X will replace the majority of the change card phones with smart chips that tell 9X when a payphone is not working or needs servicing. Although we conducted a variety of marketing and advertising campaigns to inform the public about the 9X change card phones and to encourage their use, these phones just never caught on with our customers. That's according to Brian Price, Director of Marketing and Sales at 9X. Most New Yorkers prefer using coins for their phone calls, Price said. In addition to the change card phones, 9X will replace all of its other city sidewalk payphones with advanced payphones this year. And if you're one of the suckers that went out and bought a 9X change card, well, don't worry. 9X will provide full refunds to those of you unfortunate enough to have done that. Maybe we can all get some yellow phones, you know? It'd be kind of cool to have. Nice doorstops. Okay, what else do we have in the news? Well, I'm sure people heard the news last week where AT&T admitted that that they give the dime a minute rate to anybody who asks for it. What do you think about that? All you have to do is ask. They can have the same dime-a-minute rate that Sprint clients enjoy, but they can have it all the time, not just nights and weekends. That's right. One rate, which is AT&T's offer of 15 cents a minute around the clock, was designed to compete with Sprint's dime rate for long-distance calls on nights and weekends. And we played with this here. We figured that 15 cents a minute is more expensive than 10 cents a minute even at night. You know, it sort of balances out, and it depends on what your calling patterns are. But this new deal of 10 cents a call 24 hours a day has not been advertised, and AT&T's customer service representatives aren't talking, according to the Wall Street Journal. How did you find out about this? Who told you? One representative asked a customer who called about the rate. News of AT&T's latest deal may irk customers who find out they are paying more than they have to, but in the heavily competitive long-distance price wars, AT&T is making no apologies, saying the best deals go to those who haggle best. Just remember that, folks. Haggling. That's how you get the best long-distance price. So if you think it should be 5 cents a minute, you call them up and you don't let them go until they give it to you. They'll respect you more. Well, Sprint will likewise match AT&T's 15-cent around-the-clock rate if their customers demand it, which is kind of strange because their rate is 10 cents a minute after a certain time. I wonder if they'll raise their rate to match it. MCI, however, says it won't haggle over its 12-cent-per-minute deal. But then they winked, so we don't know what that means. The AT&T dime-a-minute rate, called One Rate Plus, can be made even sweeter by pushing AT&T to waive a $4.95 a month fee for several months. Just ask them about One Rate Super Plus. I just heard rumors. It's out there somewhere. Well, we also have heard news about an agreement on Saturday to open the $600 billion global telephone market to increased competition. And that will produce more than $1 trillion in benefits to consumers from Bombay to Buffalo by providing lower rates and better service. That's according to the Associated Press. So U.S. telecommunications companies obviously are the ones that will benefit the most because there are all these new markets for them to exploit. So we'll see how that actually benefits consumers, if it ever does, and what it will do to people in other parts of the planet. It should actually bring things down since there are so many monopolies in other parts of the world and so many inflated costs. People actually call back to the United States so that they can get a dial tone to go out to another part of, say, Europe or Asia, because it's cheaper than calling direct when you're in that part of the world. So obviously that kind of thing has got to stop. Here's the latest thing from the fun folks over at, what do you call this organization? The Cyber Angels. Remember them? The Cyber Angels, the Guardian Angels on the net, the ones that are out there making sure that everything is safe for your five-year-old? Well, they're striking again. It's called the FACE Project. And just in case you need some other kind of, like, catchy saying, FACE means freeing abused children from exploitation. And you just ignore the from. And it's freeing abused children from exploitation, FACE. There you go. And it has to do with faces, too. So it's a, like a double type of a thing there. We are in the process of constructing an online database of the faces of the children who have been abused and photographed to make child pornography. Yeah, child pornography, as some of you no doubt know, is regularly posted to the Usenet. Child pornography is also illegal. That is why we are regularly passing evidence to federal authorities that we gather from the Usenet. Who are the children who are used in the child pornography that is posted to the Usenet? Do you know any? How could you find out? That is exactly what our FACE unit is all about. Our volunteers spend time each week finding child pornography posts on the Usenet and cropping the picture so that just the child's face is left. These faces, the faces of innocent children who are the victims of abuse crimes by adults, are then passed with the full header reference to our FACE unit leader. FACE unit leader. Yeah. The images are then posted up to our website in the hope that as thousands of children pass through our website, someone somewhere may recognize the face of someone in our online database. And then we can contact law enforcement and perhaps bring someone to justice and rescue an abused child. To help on this unit, you need to have cropping ability. In other words, not just be able to crop the truth, but to be able to take a JPEG image and cut out the child's face and make a new JPEG out of it. And for legal reasons, the FACE unit accepts only volunteers 18 years and above, because in effect, this, what they are doing is hiring people to just go out and find child porn and look at it and cut out the faces. I mean, I can imagine the type of people that are going to be applying for this position. But that's what they're doing. They're going to actually go out there and spread these faces around so that these people that may have been traumatized won't be traumatized anymore by having their faces plastered all over the place so people can see who they really are. I don't know about these good intentions sometimes. That's the Cyber Angels for you. That's what they're up to. We'll see where that goes. The Face Project. Yeah. And then we have this latest thing from the FCC. This is dated February 13th, 1997. Manufacturing illegal scanners includes scanner modification. Not quite sure how they mean that, but this is what they say. It has come to our attention that entities are offering to modify scanning receivers in order to receive frequencies allocated to the domestic public cellular radio telecommunications service. Such modifications are not permitted under federal law and the commission's rules. Now, scanners are radio receivers that can automatically switch between four or more frequencies anywhere in the frequency range of 30 to 960 megahertz. On April 19, 1993, the commission adopted a report and order that prohibits the manufacture and importation of scanners capable of receiving or readily being altered to receive frequencies allocated to the cellular radio service. Well, they are changing this. Scanners that are capable of readily being altered by the user include, but are not limited to, those for which the ability to receive cellular telephone frequencies can be added by clipping the leads of or installing a simple component such as a diode, resistor, and or a jumper wire, replacing a plug-in semiconductor chip, or programming a semiconductor chip using special access codes or an external device. Scanners and frequency converters for use with scanners must also be incapable of converting digital cellular frequencies to analog voice audio. Manufacturing a scanner to receive cellular telephone frequencies is a violation of the Communications Act. The modification of scanners on a substantial scale to receive cellular frequencies will be considered to constitute manufacture of such equipment. It's amazing how they're just going to twist the law until it says what they want it to say. So now if you manufacture, if you modify something, you're actually manufacturing it if you do it enough times to be annoying to them. Entities engaged in such activity are cautioned to cease advertising and or performing any such activity immediately. Willful or repeated violations may be subject to a monetary forfeiture of $10,000 and total of $75,000. Use of scanners by individuals to intercept and divulge or use beneficially wireless telephone conversations is subject to Section 705 of the Act. Other federal and state statutes also apply in this area, blah, blah, blah. And that's where that stands. They're just clamping down all the more. And this, even though technology is finally starting to catch up to the problems that cellular phones have long since offered us, you know, the new digital phones you can't listen in on. At least, I don't know of anyone who's done that yet. So, it seems like these laws aren't really needed if technology actually is improved. They certainly can be used against you in all kinds of other ways. They can make it so it's illegal for you to monitor all kinds of things. You can maybe have a law against monitoring the police, monitoring pagers. Who knows? Who knows what they'll think of next? But the structure is already there. All they have to do is modify it just a little bit. Our phone number is 212-279-3400. This is Off the Hook. Fiber's not here this week. He's out on assignment in California. And guess what? His OmniPoint phone does not work. Not out there. It was supposed to work, but if you call him now, you just get his voicemail, so there's no way to actually reach him. We have quite a bit of information on some other PCS services in other parts of the country, but we're going to save that for next week because he'll bring back even more information next week, and we'll be able to compare things. But be prepared for a shock, because all is not as it seems in the PCS world. 212-279-3400, that's our phone number. One more story, and then we'll go to the phones. This is kind of old, actually. Bernie S. sent this in, because I think he saw the humor in it, as well as I'm sure many of you will. The headline of the story is Peninsula Kids Allegedly Took Over Voicemail System. San Jose police are investigating about 30 youths aged 12 to 16 whom they say invaded the phone system of soft drink maker Icy USA. I've never heard of them. Have you ever heard of these people? Icy USA, that's the name of the soft drink company. virtually disabling its voicemail with as many as 500 messages a day. The invasions cut off an important lifeline for the company at its busiest time of the year and cost it about $40,000, police said. That's pretty scary. Workers at the company, which makes frozen carbonated drinks popular with children, I'm not sure how they mean that, if their job is to make drinks popular or if they make drinks that happen to be popular with children, but that's what they say. They make frozen carbonated drinks popular with children. They said they noticed an intruder on their voicemail system around the end of April. They were leaving phone messages, changing a password here and there, said Kamina Jensen, customer service manager for the Ontario-based company. It's Ontario, California. We thought it was a prank. Yeah, just a prank, you know? That's all it was. So they didn't do anything, I guess. After all, pranks go away. Investigator Keith Lowry, who works in the police department's high-tech unit. Oh, wouldn't you like to see that? He said it is the first case he has heard of involving the virtual destruction of a company's voicemail system by outsiders. I guess the insiders do it plenty, but this is the first time the outsiders got their hands on it. He said one youth obtained a password that permitted access to the company's phone system, then, get this, began passing the information along to friends. I'll tell you, these kids these days. The knowledge was spread among young people throughout Santa Clara Valley, and soon, IC's toll-free 800 line was flooded with calls. Boys were leaving sexually explicit messages for their girlfriends, and vice versa. Many of the youngsters changed passwords, erased legitimate voicemail accounts, and created new ones for themselves. They eventually overloaded the system with messages, which brought it down. We were hit pretty hard starting in mid-May through June. At the end of June, the whole system crashed, Jensen said. IC had to bring in a technician and buy software to repair its system and improve security. The crash also disrupted communications among many of the company's 400 employees who are spread all over the country. The company called Ontario Police. Since calls to 800 numbers leave a record of the caller's number, police were able to trace the calls to the San Jose area. You know, they could trace it right to somebody's house, not just to the area, but I guess one thing at a time. We have junior high school students and high school students, said the policeman. They run from Morgan Hill to Cupertino, from East San Jose to West San Jose, all the way across San Jose. Amazing. Lowry said he is trying to track down the ringleaders. Said the decision on whether to file charges will be made later. That probably has already happened since this is a story from last year, but it's so funny the way they deal with this kind of thing. Instead of just fixing their system, you know, and it's not a difficult thing to do, they have to make a big federal case. I read about this in New York now. That's how big a case they've made out of it. I wonder, do you think they still have a voicemail system? We're not going to hack it. We're just going to see if they have one. Can we get a dial tone here? See if we can get one of our magical dial tones. There we go. And we're going to take the first step like anybody would. We're going to call information. Never even heard of this company before.
Free directory, Sophia.
Hello, I'm looking for the number for IC USA. That's spelled I-C-E-E USA.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The toll-free number is 800-423-3872. Repeat, 800-423-3872.
Okay, let's give that a try. Also?
Awesome. ICUSA customer service. Please hold for the first available operator.
Oh, they got smart. Okay. Well, I guess you have to go through an operator then. At least at this time of day. Of course, you might be able to hack that recording. I'm not really sure about that. But the important thing is that they learn something and they don't just keep making the same mistakes. Of course, where one person makes a mistake, hundreds of others will follow and make the same mistakes. All right, 212-279-3400. Let's go to the telephones, see who is out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
That's funny. 1-800-423-3872 is 1-800-ICEE-USA.
You know, I guess if I was a little smarter, I would have figured that out on my own.
Well, I'm bored and I have nothing better to do.
Wow, that is something.
Okay.
I'm going to have to call...
Hello?
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
I don't know who that is. Okay, good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, how you doing?
It's me. Hi, I haven't called for a while. Four things, okay?
Yes.
Number one, before you lay a guilt trip on me for not listening or contributing during the membership drive, let me just say I gave $500 11 years ago for Bob Dylan tickets. The scalpers were selling for $10. I gave the Laughing Cavalier $300 for the station's first CD player that someone eventually stole and took home, not to mention all the liquor I gave people there. So, is it cool?
Well, you know, that's all in the past.
Yeah, I know,
but... You gotta keep giving, you can't just
I know,
stop.
But if you remember, I'm bankrupt and officially dead, so... Anyway, number two, I was in Fiber's neighborhood a few days ago. You know the store Little Ricky's?
Yeah.
I was there, I got like a Betty Boop plastic doll and like a mini TV. It's like a joke. It says, good stuff on TV, and it's like a Viewmaster and this like classic art on it. Number three, oh, who is this Pam woman... named after the goddess of nonstick cooking who now and then comes on the show. Is she a hacker or the main squeeze of one of you guys?
I cannot comment on that at this point.
Okay. And the last thing, which has to do with the topic,
yeah.
I don't know if you got this mailing. It's one of the weirdest in a while from Working Assets.
No.
Long distance company, you know, the penultimate PC company. If you join them, now dig this, besides the usual, you know, long-distance certificates and all that stuff, you get for a year a month's supply of Ben & Jerry's ice cream, for real. What do you think of that?
Well, that sounds like incentive, I guess. I guess they've got something going with them.
The last thing, I wrote you a letter about this a long time ago. I don't know if you ever answered it. Is there like an electrical current in the phone line? Because I'm thinking some phones have those ugly green lights, and then there's the redial memory that needs power. So, like, is there electricity coming in the phone line?
Well, there's power that comes down. There's power to light up, say, Princess phones, and to to do various things along those lines to give you the voltage needed.
But there's no way of, like, you know, splicing it to light a light bulb or getting electricity from a phone jack.
No, you can't really. There's not really a whole lot there.
Okay, well, I'm back. I'm glad the marathon is over. And are you going to be doing any more worldwide web simulcast soon?
Hopefully, yes. You can still hear. You can download our shows off the web, but we don't have a live feed at this point.
Oh, you know, I'm low tech. I mean, it took me 10 years to learn how to use a telephone.
Yeah.
Okay, have a great show, and I'll be listening. Bye.
All right, take care. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
I wanted to know how Bernie S. was doing. I have been able to listen on and off, and I never did hear anything more about ever since I got out of...
He's been getting better. He's almost, I don't want to say completely healed, because it'll take quite some time physically and mentally to heal from all this, but he's definitely making his way back into society and, you know, working a steady job and just enjoying life, so... I mean, he's doing quite well in that regard. They're still making things very difficult for him as far as having to report to all these places and face a probation or the equivalent for a long period of time. He recently went through the area of the house that he was living in where they had searched, and he saw the damage that they did. They had gone through the basement and just broken things, like, you know, snapped circuit boards in half, things like that. Things
you're
they didn't
about
have to
from
do.
Before.
Yeah, from when the house was originally searched,
right,
2 years ago. And it was just, I mean, it tells you a lot about the mentality of these kind of people to just go around and vandalize like that.
Right. But otherwise, they haven't started anything new on him or anything.
No, as far as I know, everything is okay as far as you know, his future.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks for asking.
Thanks.
Take care. 212-279-3400. Give us a call. By the way, thanks to everybody who pledged 2 weeks ago. It was had a really good response from everybody out there, and I think the station did quite well overall. So, again, thanks for everybody who called in and pledged. Give us a call now, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Speak up. Yes.
Yes. I want to bring up the topic of the current case before the Public Service Commission in New York, which is being asked to allow a merger of Bell Atlantic with NYNEX.
Yes.
And the problem we have with that is that Bell Atlantic has very good rates. NYNEX has the highest rates, for instance, for flat rate service.
Actually, that's not entirely true. Bell Atlantic charges more for per minute ISDN. And one of the concerns is that if they merge, NYNEX rates would go up as well. I think it's 2 cents a minute, Bell Atlantic, 1 cent a minute here. And we don't want there to be any charge at all because, you know, paid per minute for a data connection is kind of absurd, especially in this day and age. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some rates of Bell Atlantic that are better, some rates of NYNEX that are better. Did you happen to see the New York Times editorial on Friday? They actually came out against it.
Yes, well, there's a lot of things. For instance, the attorney, even New York's Attorney General Vacco is against it. And, of course, you have AT&T and MCI and a whole host of others are
right.
Against it. What it is doing, essentially, is to let the people with the highest rates make when you compare the flat rate charges that are, for instance, a lot of people paying in Newark and New Jersey, they pay $8.19 for unlimited flat rate service reaching over 300,000 people, and a comparable rate in New York, which covers Buffalo, Erie, and Nassau County, is $20, so they're over $11 difference there. Lifeline, which is supposed to give people a break, is $15, which is almost double what Jersey charges. Now, Jersey, Bell Atlantic would be a great competitor. They could come in and wipe the floor with NYNEX.
Mm-hmm.
But why should they do that? It's much simpler to become a partner in the high rates with NYNEX.
Well, yeah, that's true, but that crushes any other competition, which, again, makes it a sweeter deal for them as well.
That's another point. By coming in, for them to come in and merge, they are crushing and making it very difficult for anyone to compete against them.
Right. I think, you know, when this thing first came out a while back, you know, we considered it. We gave it, you know, all the attention it deserved. And I know I didn't say right away I was for it or against it. I said, let's get more information. Now I would have to say I'm pretty strongly against it, and I think a lot of other people are as well. If you listen to NYNEX, though, the way they're talking as if it's a done deal. You know, they say it's been approved when the merger is finished, and, you know, it's not. It's
no,
not at
of
that
course.
Stage.
Well, the commission already, we've turned in our reply briefs, and they're expected to have a decision early in March on what they're going to do. Now, of course, the phone company, also the attorney general, in the federal attorney general, is looking into the antitrust aspect of it as well. But
can you tell us something about a timetable as far as like what we're going to hear next?
Yeah, well, what you will hear next, if the commission says what it said he was going to do, they're hoping to be coming forth with a decision in early March, maybe mid-March at the latest. The absolute latest probably would be April 1st.
Is it too late for people to voice their opinions?
No. By the way, the Public Service Commission toured the whole, you know, entire New York telephone territory with public statement hearings where they took public statements, where they had a debate between the phone company and the staff of the Public Service Commission staff also, by the way, is opposing unless they get some important concessions,
mm-hmm.
rate concessions, but
even with rate concessions, I don't like the idea of a monopoly.
The position that we're taking. Well, I speak for Buffalo, Erie County, and Nassau County, the law departments of the respective areas, and that position is just turn down the merger at this time. Let's see how free competition develops over a period of time, and then if you had, you know, if you had a bunch of competitors coming into the market and really replace, you know, offering service and so forth immediately, then maybe the merger would have less against it. But right now, it's a long and hard ride, especially for companies that haven't been in the business before. But of course, Bell Atlantic is the best competitor because right across the river, they're all set up, you know, and poised to show Ninex how to run a phone company.
That's certainly true.
But people can. You asked about the Public Service Commission will continue to receive and be grateful for any expressions of public interest in this. So anybody that wants to send in any, you know, let the Public Service Commission know how they feel, it'd be welcome.
Okay.
The Public Service Commission in Albany, or they're at 110 Plaza in New York City.
Do you have a phone number for us?
For the Public Service Commission?
Yes. It's located at the front of your telephone.
Just a second,
book.
I'll come up with it. But if you're just in the front of the phone book, they have the, you know, the state agencies, and it's listed there. You don't have to go through the alphabetical.
Okay. Well, I encourage people to do that, to voice their opinion, and do it soon, because this is going to come to a head really quickly.
That's true.
All right. Listen, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Take
Bye.
Care. So, good for people to get involved in something like this. It is important. You know, I was just down south over Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, various places like that. And they're all served by Bell South. Bell South is another one of these huge phone companies. And, you know, they have ISDN down there, and they don't pay by the minute for their 64K connections. They pay a set rate, which I think is under $100 a month, and they get two channels, total of 128, and they can stay on as long as they want. Here, in this particular neck of the woods, the similar service would cost us over $1,000. So, obviously, something is definitely wrong, and the area is definitely ripe for competition of all sorts. So, yes, that's one of the things I learned down there. You know, another thing I learned, actually, is how stupid smart technology can be. I rented a car to go down there, to go all the way down to Atlanta, because obviously it's a good deal and you get unlimited mileage. You can drive anywhere you want. And I had this car that has those stupid running lights. You know, running lights are the lights you can never turn off. Although I figured out a way to turn them off. If you put the emergency brake on, they go off. But then it's kind of hard to drive with the emergency brake on. That's the only way I could see to turn these damn lights off. But there were all these other stupid things that kept happening with this car, where it would decide something for me. It would decide to lock the door at a certain point in time. You know, it would decide that the lights have to be on, or you know, some other thing doesn't work. At one point, it was sending me some sort of a signal. It was dinging. You know, whenever I would turn the key and leave, it would ding to remind me. Now, it wasn't a super fast ding. You get those when you leave the keys in the ignition, or you leave the lights on somehow. But this one was just, you know, like a ding every 2 seconds or so. Like, you know, you forgot something, idiot. You know, go back and... But it doesn't tell you what you forgot. And I was searching all over the place trying to find out what it was that I hadn't done. You know, the lights were off, the keys were gone there. You know, it was in park. I was parked in a legal space. I couldn't figure out what it was. And then suddenly it just stopped happening. You know, it would happen every time I stopped the car at one point. And then after about four times of this, either it just gave up on me totally, or it decided that it wasn't such a big deal after all, whatever it was. I never found out what the problem was with this car, why it was upset at me for doing something. So that's kind of annoying. Nothing to compare, though, with these automated controls, though, that they put into these stupid things. I was sitting on a street. Actually, I had stopped in Philadelphia. I was sitting on South Street, just sort of, you know, hanging out, resting for a little bit until I continued my journey. And all of a sudden, right in front of me, these two guys start getting into this, like, you know, argument. You know, it looks like it's about drugs or something. I don't know. It just seemed that way because of you know, the gestures and the way things seem to be going. It just seemed like a drug deal gone bad, you know. And it's a good opportunity to hear some interesting dialogue, maybe pick up a few of those, you know, new catchwords that they use. So I decided I was going to, you know, I was sitting in my car, it was off, I was going to listen to what they were saying. Well, guess what? I couldn't open the window because the window is an automatic window and it wouldn't open unless I, you know, turned the key. So I said, okay, I guess I'll have to just turn the key to accessory and lower the window a little bit so I can, you know, listen in on this. So I stick the key in. It starts dinging, of course, to tell me I've stuck the key in. Now, that's okay because it's inside the car and the window's closed. It's not making all that much noise. Then I turn the key, and what do you think happens? The lights come on. The running lights come on because I'm running the car by putting it into the accessory mode. And, of course, now these two people who are arguing are bathed in all this light, and they look over at me like, what's this? Are we about to be busted by a cop or something? So, yeah, I can open the window now, but it's kind of pointless because all of a sudden I'm the focus of attention, so I just continued to turn the key at that point, and I got out of there. These smart cars are dumb, and I'd look for any kind of way of getting around the technology, defeating the things that have been decided for you, because they have not always been, you know, the right things. Not by any stretch of the imagination. All right, 212-279-3400. Please, any car stories you have on new technology, crazy things that have happened, I'd welcome those. I'd like to hear what else is going on out there. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, you were on the air. Now you're on the air. Go ahead. Speak up.
What can you tell me about an internet service provider called IDT in New Jersey and its chairman of the board, Howard Jonas, with his business ethics and so forth?
Well, try not to get too personal, but tell us about the company. What I take it you don't like them from your tone.
Well, it's just that I went to high school with the chairman of the board. I just wondered if he's the same kind of guy he was 25 years ago as he is today.
You don't sound like someone who went to high school 25 years ago. You sound a bit younger.
Well, that's the way it is.
Oh, take that as a compliment, but okay.
Gary Null's influence.
Okay, yeah, well, natural living will do that to you. All right, so you went to high school with the guy that runs IDT, and what, did he run a phone company in high school back then, or what did he do?
Well, there was no election for most likely to succeed, but if there had been that sort of thing at the Bronx School of Science 25 years ago, then he most certainly would have won it.
Uh-huh.
And
was he a real cutthroat?
When he was 16 years of age, he ran his own advertising agency with an office in the Empire State Building.
Wow.
And he had copies. He was also student government president and had copies of Advertising Age lying around his office.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. I'll tell you why I asked a question about his business ethics. You'll recall that Bill Clinton, the question was put to him, mm-hmm. Have you ever smoked marijuana?
Okay.
And he said, I have never violated the drug laws of this country. And subsequently we learned that he did smoke marijuana, but he did so in Britain. So the answer he gave, technically speaking, was correct. That was a typical Bill Clinton answer to a question, and also a typical Howard Jonas answer to a question.
Did Harold Jonas smoke marijuana?
Well, I'm talking about in terms of the way he...
Oh, that's what we really want to know, you know.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, but In any case... The important thing is
you went to high school with him. How could you not have known that?
Well.
Anyway, okay. So tell us something, you know, give us some dirt on the guy.
Excuse me?
Don't you have any dirt?
Well, I was just wondering if you had any dirt on him that could update me.
you know the guy. I mean, you've met him. You've been to the same school.
Yes.
That's where we get the dirt from.
I see.
Yeah, you know?
Well, he was fond of making all kinds of grand gestures. For example, paying off his employees with the high denomination bills he pulled out of his pocket. He was a fascinating character.
Uh-huh.
Well, his company is publicly traded now, and he's worth millions probably.
Wow.
There's an article about him that appeared in Individual Investor magazine a few months ago.
Does he come to the reunions?
I don't believe so.
Well, there you go. That's a success on your head, you know?
He contributes he also subsidizes WNYC.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, that other public station.
Ah, that's correct.
That's just fine. Well, you know, we'll look for dirt on him. We'll let you know what we find.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, he mainly through what I call confidence.
Yes.
He managed to con his way into Harvard.
He conned his way into Harvard?
True.
Well, I'd like to know how to do that.
Yeah, well, very engaging character, and one reason above all others why he is so effective, and that is he is a super salesman, and the product which he's been selling all his life is himself and his personality, especially in one respect. He's able to affect an air of total innocence.
Uh-huh.
That's all I have to say on the subject.
Okay. Well, thanks
for being here. But in the event that you're able to dig up more of it on your own, please keep us updated.
Yes, we'll certainly do that. We'll consider that a mission.
Very good.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, we'll see if there's any dirt to dig up. Yeah, you know, I have a feeling that was really him, to find out if we had any dirt on him, you know? That's what I think. That's my first suspicion there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. Two things.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to miss out. Bernie, yes, I want to talk about only because I was out of the country for a whole year, stuck in England, where I think you liked. I didn't.
You got stuck there?
Yeah, business. And for a whole
business
year...
or prison?
Business.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know...
Writing the same music you brought back, only a little better.
Okay.
Okay. A lot better, sorry. In any event, I didn't hear what happened to him in prison. If you can tell me that. One other thing, so I can hear this on the air.
Right.
You asked about cars. I rented a new Thunderbird last week.
Right.
From Hertz over 55th Street and 6th Avenue. The car had no bass or treble controls. Could you believe that?
That's a hazard.
Can you believe
that? Is a driving hazard.
That's crazy.
Trying to listen to music that has bass.
My own music is worse.
You have to
I want to blast it. You know,
have to compensate somehow, and that leads to all kinds of problems.
That is mad, man.
No, that's not right.
You know, that's not even a car, man.
Taking that right back.
You know? Well, you know, it had the low, low coolant light on for the rest of for the whole trip. I didn't even want to try to go back. I want to do what I had to do and get back there. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But please tell me how Bernie Esten got hurt in jail or whatever. I didn't hear any.
Okay.
None of my friends know either. They must have been away, too.
I guess so. Well, now, do you have net access by any chance?
No, I actually do and don't know how to use it. I got a Pentium sitting here with the crazy stars coming. I don't know how to use this crazy stuff.
Well, okay.
I put a scanner in and lost everything.
Well, if you hit our website, obviously everything will be there as far as the whole update. But to put it briefly, Bernie was in prison throughout all of last year, pretty much up until October. Shortly before then, he was moved to a maximum security prison for no particular reason, and he was attacked by a maximum security inmate, and he was hurt very badly. And at that point, to put it very briefly, at that point, people on net, people from this radio station, people listening to this radio show, really got involved, really got upset, really started to organize. And we began a letter-writing campaign, a phone campaign, and we started organizing a protest down at the prison. And the very week that was supposed to happen, he was just suddenly released. Apparently, the pressure was just incredible on them. And he's been out since October. He's been able to find work. He's been able to start putting his life back together. It's a long road ahead, but at least he's not in that hell anymore.
I just wish I was here to help you guys do that, but I appreciate you guys really, you know, going to bat for your own.
Well, you know, spread the word. That's one way of helping.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
No treble, no bass. That is sad. Oh, boy. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up, please.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I'm not listening, so I don't know what you're talking about, but I'd just like to mention something.
Well, the fact of you listening has nothing to do with that, does it?
Well, I'd just like to mention a couple of things. But you I got caught up in work.
Where are you?
I'm in Flushing, Queens on my way home from work.
Flushing, Queens, huh?
Yeah, apparently I got caught up in some deliveries here, and I planned to listen, but couldn't.
Oh, that's a damn shame.
Yeah, I know. How was Atlanta or wherever you went?
Atlanta's a nice town. Although,
oh, I know that.
You know, I don't think you really want to try the sushi there.
Oh.
I would caution against that.
Have you ever been to Waffle House in Georgia?
I passed a lot of Waffle Houses, but I would not stop at them.
Oh, I love that. When I drove down to Augusta, Georgia, on the way down to Florida, I stopped at a Waffle House.
Really?
It's like a roadside restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, just one quick thing. I've noticed that there are a lot of 9X payphones with the earpiece removed. I'm standing right next to one right now. The earpiece removed on a lot of 9X payphones in the city.
Are you talking on one right now?
Well, I wouldn't be hearing it. I'm saying I'm standing
good
next
point
to one.
Yes, very good point.
And anyway, also, there are a lot of, in 9X payment centers, that are in 9X buildings, by the way.
Yes.
There is a courtesy phone where you can make free phone calls. You just dial 9 and then their carrier access code. They're listed at like 13th Street and 2nd Avenue and in Brooklyn on Bridge Street. I have a list of them on my website. If you want a whole complete list of where you can go and how to make free phone calls from 9X payment centers, go to my website at www.escape.com, that's ESCAPE.com/TildeRebel, REBEL. And those of you who are tired of hearing that website, that's for the people who don't know it. So.
Yeah, well, there are still people out there that don't know it, which is surprising to me, but they still exist. Rebel, by the way, have you, this is something that I actually would be interested in, have you heard that the yellow phones have been deemed a failure by 9X, and they're all going to be removed?
Oh, that's surprising.
They're all going to be removed. Every last one.
I guess they're not doing well.
They are not doing well at all. Nobody uses them. Well, few people use them. Fiber used them, but, you know,
What about the ones that say...
What about the ones that say what?
That say thank you for using 9X.
Oh, those things. You know, they say they're going to replace every phone in the city with a new smartphone. I hope those aren't the new smartphones. Sorry?
Isn't that what the smartphone is?
Well, I sure hope it isn't, because they're not very smart. They cut off your touch tones, and they do all kinds of horrible things. A lot of them don't take incoming calls. What I think we need to do, and I think, you know, 9X is fairly responsive to when people say things, but you just got to say it a lot. We need phones that take incoming calls. We need phones that allow touch tones. You know, we're not going to win the war on drugs by you know, cutting back on simple things with technology. Drug dealers are amazingly, you know, what's the word? They survive, all right? They can survive anything, and they can survive these you know, hardline tactics of 9Xs. I think a lot of us will be much better served by having payphones where you can call someone and say, hey, call me back, or beep somebody a payphone. Can't tell you how many times I've been searching for a phone where I can get an incoming call because I need to page somebody and have them call me back, and I don't have a cell phone on me. So it's an important feature. And also, there's lots of times in this day and age where you need to use touch tones after you've connected to something. They should not be cutting you off. And they certainly shouldn't be charging you for a phone call where you can't use touch tones afterwards. Yeah, agreed, Rebel?
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of COCOTs are now like blocking touch tones or after you dial certain 800 numbers.
Well, that's nothing new with COCOTs. We don't expect 9X phones to act the same.
Some of them don't even let you call the 800 number.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. They can block that. They ask for money for an 800 number, things like that.
Right. I mean, like, this thing with the 9X courtesy phones that I described, I think I've told 9X and I've gotten to the right people that, you know, that is in charge of the place on in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
They've fixed it partially. I mean, they've cut off the part where the operator, like, in other words, what they would do is they would make it so that the operators know that it's a restricted line, but apparently you could still dial 9 and then a carrier access code. Now, apparently this happens throughout the city. There's payment centers in Harlem, there's payment centers in Brooklyn and the Bronx and, you know, in Queens and I'm sure other places too where this happens. I've been to them. I've actually gone to them to see whether this really works, and it has.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's a list of them on my website, and if you, you know, just dial 9, pick up a courtesy phone, dial 9, dial 0, or a carrier access code like 10288.
By the way, you know that all the carrier access codes have gone to 7 digits now.
Yeah.
I checked everywhere, and everywhere I went, 1010288, which is the new AT&T carrier access code, works, along with 10288.
Right.
So be prepared for that. You're going to be dialing some extra digits.
Right.
All right, Rebel, we're going to have to let you go.
All right.
So thanks for checking in.
Okay.
Good luck on your journey.
Thanks.
All right, that's Rebel reporting live from Flushing. Oh, boy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Everyone in the 1970s who went to Bronx Science smoked marijuana, I should know. To answer
okay.
That other guy.
Well,
ciao.
Thanks for filling us in on that little tidbit there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, a friend of mine was talking about some kind of modified pager from Radio Shack, one of those touchtone dialers.
Yeah, a modified dialer, yes.
Yeah, no, he told me that little thing can provide the tones from when you drop in change.
You know, I'd heard that theory passed around, and you know, it's just a remarkable coincidence that if you put a certain crystal in there, it can make tones that sound remarkably similar to the tones that are made when a quarter is dropped into a payphone. It's the damnedest thing, but it does happen. And what's even more amazing is that payphones to this day actually only want the tones. They don't really want the quarter. They just are looking for tones.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing.
The other thing I wanted to ask is,
yes.
Another friend of mine, he had showed me, he takes a paper clip or it was a wire or something. I think it was a wire because I think he tried to isolate himself from grounding the wire or whatever. He sticks it in the 9X phone on the side by the key. I think it was the keyhole.
Uh-huh.
And he could only do it with maybe one or two phones at a gas station. There were 9X phones, but he couldn't do it to the other phones on the other side of the gas station to make free calls.
What kind of free calls? Long distance? Local?
Local.
Local calls. Yeah, and that's an old trick. I'm surprised it even still works anywhere. That's a very old trick.
Yeah, because it used to be done where you'd stick it in the mouthpiece, stick a wire in the mouthpiece, and then stick it on the, like, on the frame around.
Right, and every mouthpiece in lower Manhattan had a big hole in the middle of it because, you know, all the phones were used for that purpose. But I was under the impression that no longer worked.
Yeah.
But maybe it still does.
Yeah, I just thought maybe like with the keyhole, I know sometimes when 9X comes around to take their change, they have a little computer about maybe the size of a cellular phone just tapping away just to get the change off. Are they doing like an auditing on the phone?
I'm not really sure if they can do that, but I would imagine they're capable of doing something like that. There should be some sort of record as to what they are expecting in the phone. I know Cocots do that. You know, the phones that aren't 9X, they tell you exactly how much money should be in the phone. If it doesn't match, then obviously something's wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if they do that, if they just collect it without even counting. That's something I think we should look into, see just what, you know, how accountable they are to what goes on with their phones.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I guess that's it then. You have a good night then, okay?
All right, take care.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yeah. You got to speak faster than that. Good evening. You're on the air. See, by the time he hung up, I'd already pressed the button, and that's why he's gone. Is somebody there?
Yes, Emmanuel.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if you heard about this new product from Motorola. It's supposed to be like a super-duper walkie-talkie, sort of in between the walkie-talkie and the cellular phone.
In between the walkie-talkie and the cellular phone. Well, describe it a little more for us.
Well, I saw it in Popular Science. It's supposed to have like a 1 or 2 mile radius. And, of course, it would be, you know, that's under optimum conditions. Buildings would reduce that. But, you know, it was described as basically a super-duper walkie-talkie. I didn't really see anything else other than the Popular Science report.
Sounds sort of like a PCS phone. did it have any kinds of other features?
No email, no, I don't even think it had Morse code or anything, but it went for about $150 a unit, something like that.
And it's just basically a walkie-talkie is what you're...
A walkie-talkie with, tremendous range. I mean, sort of like CB kind of range, I think.
Do you know what kind of frequencies it used?
It didn't say. The story was so bare bones, I was hoping you had heard something about it.
No, it was in what magazine again?
Popular Science. I think it was January or December, and it's from Motorola.
Okay, I'll look into it.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
We have time for about one more call, I think. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Speak up, yes.
Yeah, Is 2600?
Yeah.
Wow,
You got something to say?
Yeah, I forgot there's a delay. I got the radio on.
Okay, turn down your radio. You're
all
very
right.
Confused.
All right. Yeah, as far as the last guy was talking about, about the payphones and how you can't dial into them anymore. They don't pick incoming calls.
Right.
And we were talking about the drug dealers and stuff.
Right.
Well, you know, like AT&T took over that market by giving free weekends and evenings on their cell phones.
yeah, I guess you could say that.
the other thing is how come I have 3 cell phones, but I cannot get the same number on all 3 of them? And I'm sure this is a really old issue, but I still really want to know when they're going to make it so you can do that.
Well, you know, you can do that, but by doing that you're guilty of you know, cloning
and
you could be sent to prison like Bernie S. was.
Yeah, I work at a wireless company, you know, but I'm a programmer, but like... But I'm up on all those issues. But
well,
like,
let's assume that a cellular phone company is listening right now. Why don't you, as a user, tell them why is a legitimate use for you to want the same phone number on three different phones?
Why would
a legitimate user want the same phone number on three different phones?
Because it's like I'm already paying for one service, and they're not going to be providing me anything more by me paying three times as much.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm the one who's actually paying for three telephones. They're providing.
Why do you have three different telephones? I guess is what I'm getting.
Well, one of them I got free with my. I changed carriers from S&T to AT&T, and they gave me a free phone. And I was like, well, can you program my existing phone that I already paid for to the same number? And they were like, no, we can't do that. That's against the law. And I'm like, well, it's only against the law if someone else is, charging money on my account. But
right.
It's me paying for both of them.
So, sir, we're going to have to cut you off because we're out of time.
Okay.
But I think you made the point, and hopefully something will be done about that. Thanks for calling. Thanks, everybody else, for listening. We'll be back again next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for Fiber Optic, who is away on assignment. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
You are tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI-FM in New York City. The time is now 9 o'clock, WBAI-FM, with a staff, our members of the United Electrical Workers, so saith the National Labor Relations Board.
On the pipes, but no steam at all. Landlord, landlord, low down, rotten, good for nothing.